Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like scrolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
11 o'clock hour here. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Keep an eye on the Big 12 tournament, which will tip off again today in about 25 minutes. We'll get to some scoreboard updates. Also, the SEC tournament is underway, but Missouri will not be playing until later on this evening, so we won't have any updates on that. But we do want to talk about the Missouri Tigers here in just a bit. An update that we heard earlier today on Fesco in the morning was around Bobby Wood Jr. There was a scare last night there for about, I would call like a half hour, 45 minutes or so. You saw the initial report. I think it was Annie Rogers who had the first report out there that Bobby Wood Jr. was hit by a pitch, left the game. And at the time, I think her report said maybe left hand arrest. You're like, oh boy. No. Then the Royals tweeted out that he is being evaluated for a forearm issue or strain, or we didn't know what it was, right? Then later on, x-rays came back negative. Bobby Wood Jr. gave a thumbs up and prayer emoji. Vinny then quote tweets it with a photo of Bobby Wood Jr. tweeting that tweet. And he's just been getting all the scoop this week.
Yeah, no kidding. He says he's using his left hand.
He's got all of it. And then Fesco this morning said he's here, 5 to 6 days, I think, or something is what they're expecting. Crisis averted. Disaster diverted.
If you watch the video of him coming off the field, and he said he lost feeling in it for a little bit. Oh, no. We got beaten. Mm-hmm. It was a scary 30 minutes. Not like a, oh, I hope. It's he'll be further evaluated. I don't like hearing that. It was just a reminder of like how healthy they've been this spring training and how quickly that luck could run out if just one wrong pitch went wrong way. Put him in bubble wrap. I don't need to see him take another spring training at bat. 5 or 6 days, that only leaves a couple more spring training days. Go ahead and take those too, Bobby. And we'll talk to you 2 weeks from today at opening day here at the K when the Royals open up their season for the 3:10 first pitch right here on 96.5 The Fan. I'd like Bobby Wood Jr. to be in line. I was terrified. Kudos to Vinny. And I saw some other people just calling him a Vincider in general. And I was like, you know what? Glad we stuck with that early on. Vincider's a great title. So I appreciate his levity in the situation. But yeah, man, I was genuinely fearful that they might lose Bobby Wood Jr. And like, we all know, ranking the players you can afford to lose for even a month in the season, he's one. Cole Reagans is probably two. And then there's a bunch of guys after that, but they're not those two. Not your number one starter and not Bobby Witt Jr. It's crazy, man, because like baseball is just like one errant fastball. And spring training is scary because a lot of people have errant fastballs in spring training.
Right, and in the regular season, this is the broader topic about the rotation, how healthy they were. You know, and only Michael Wacha, I believe, had an IL stint. Michael Lorenzen got hurt a little bit later on in the year. But that's you're looking for unfortunate areas that you have to be prepared for regression. The chances of staying as healthy as they were a year ago are pretty slim. As far as the hit by the pitch yesterday for Bobby Wood Jr., you're right. I mean, that can happen to anybody at any given time. You just don't know, and you hope that A, it doesn't happen, but B, you get lucky that it just hits you in the right spot. That's not you know, gonna cause a fracture in a wrist or a bone. Obviously, we know about the Vinny Pasquantino situation last year, where that was also a fluky thing when he was just fielding. So, I mean, it can happen to anybody, but fortunately, it's not the case. As far as I'm concerned, yeah, they can just not play him for 2 weeks. I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, just go ahead and put him in bubble wrap until opening day, and I'm fine with that. I think we're good to go there on the Bobby Wood Jr. being ready for the start of the season. I don't need to have anything else happen at this point in time for him.
If Q says anything different, anything worth note, mm-hmm. or fear, we'll bring it to you in What's Trending at noon. He's going to speak to the media at our tour. Josh Vernier and Andy Rogers down there in Surprise at 11:45. So when he talks, if he says, actually, we're thinking, you know, we'll make sure what's in there. But the fact that it was negative last night, I think Jeff Passan was the first one to report it last night. I'm like, okay, phew. And then you're like, but no timetable to return. What are we thinking? Now we're hearing a week. Okay, a week. I can deal with that. That's a number that at least makes sense. Not going to slow him down before spring training. But yeah, there's a reason to, like, you watch these spring training games and you're just like, please don't get hurt. Anything but hurt. That's also why I don't like spring training being 6 weeks long. I know sure. that there's reasons why they say you need it and the ramp up and a million other things. And, I'm sure there's even a little bit of truth to it, right? But it's like, we couldn't do a month. Like, we'd be an opening day by now. Bobby Wood Jr. would be fine.
Yeah.
Instead of like taking a fastball to the forearm.
Yeah, like this one was a real thing because, as you said, he lost feeling. But also, as you remember from covering it,
spring training, you so much as feel.
I mean, if Bobby Wood Jr. got a bug bite and he's like, yeah, it's kind of itchy, they're like, we'll just take you out, let you go handle that and get some Benadryl and just take care of it, you know?
We'll put a little
like
calamine on there. People say that for
like, I don't know. But yeah, like minor, if it's a starting player and there's anything that doesn't feel right or didn't look right, there's no reason to keep said player in.
No, but in this case, it's like he would have probably come out of a regular season game.
Although some of the folks that were there on site said that before he even went to talk to Bobby, he being Matt Quatrero, he was already pulling him out of the game. Like, before he even went to talk to him. So, like, he was like, all right, you got hit.
Get the hell out of here.
You're out. We don't need to have you out here. And fortunately, we can joke about it now because he's going to be fine.
Did you feel even better when Vinny sent the photo out and you could see that he's using both hands, you know?
I thought it was funny.
Did you feel better knowing?
I definitely thought it was funny, yes. And everybody's first reaction was like, you can't get him an ice pack? Put some ice on that, you know, just in case.
Get him something from the fridge. Be a good teammate.
Someone's like, oh, you're babysitting Bobby. That's nice.
Yeah.
Where do you think they are? Whose house do you think they're at this?
Look like a nice couch.
I assume that was at Bobby's. I'm guessing if you're Bobby Wood Jr. and you just got somewhat hurt, you probably are going back to your place.
And you're just like, hey, Vinny, you want to get a beer?
Or maybe Vinny was just walking with him. Who knows, right? Yeah.
I'm just curious. The guy knows what he's doing, man.
I saw him breaking type news. This tweet with his left hand.
Woo! That's the scoop.
Sigh of relief.
Jets quarterback scoop, Bobby Wood Jr. injury scoop. He really is a sports insider now.
He's making a name for himself this spring training in the media world, you know?
That's right. That's right. Just one housekeeping thing to pass along. Just saw it became official. Jalen Moore signed his contract. Now there's video proof has signed his contract with.
He's not going to change his mind.
That's right. That's
that
right.
Happens every once in a while.
He has signed his contract with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Ooh, could you imagine if you found out that he had changed his mind and somebody else offered him different money? They're like,
Point, you would have to be like, all right, we have to pay. We have to pay him whatever that other offer is.
Like he's like extorting you for more. And you're like, I don't think we even have a choice, guys. Who the hell are we going to start
agent,
a left tackle?
The relationship and all that. That's the reason why that stuff doesn't happen to that extent.
Not on players usually that high priced. Not ever, but yeah. Usually
enter
it's like,
Ariante Ursary, the guy we talked about yesterday.
What about it?
That's who you'd have to draft in the first round if
they still might
draft
a tackle fairly high anyway.
Yeah.
Like that's still in play.
I mean, a first round pick, a tackle.
What grade do you give that?
What?
Okay, so
if you pick
a first round. I mean, I don't know. Like grade before knowing the results?
Yes.
Probably like.
Just drafting the position.
I don't know, like a B. I'll never give it an A because I hate using first round picks on players that don't start. I hate it.
Yeah, it'd probably be a B minus, C plus type of thing.
Yeah, B. Yeah, it kind of depends on the tackle.
But I have
honestly.
No problem with them spending one of their first three picks, generally speaking, on a tackle still, because best case scenario, Jalen Moore goes out there and shows he should. You know, the only reason why he wasn't starting is because Trent Williams was a future Hall of Famer, maybe the best left tackle in NFL history, and so he was behind him. He gets to start 17 games and he plays above average, and you're like, wow, let's talk extension now with him. That's the dream scenario, okay? If everything
and even
went
then,
great.
It's like that tackle just goes to right tackle and you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
From 815, it said Vinny said he's staying at Bobby's
house.
There
you go. There's your answer.
Next time he's on the show, I want to ask him, is he chipping in on rent?
Is Vinny chipping in?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Well, Bobby signed.
You may not want to put that business out there,
Bobby
man.
Signed like a $300 million deal. He's crashing at Bobby's place. All I want to know is Vinny chip in for rent? Or do you buy the groceries? That's not trouble. I'm asking him. I didn't ask Bobby if Vinny's chipping in.
If Bobby finds out.
Bobby knows whether or not he's chipping in for rent.
Well, no, I'm saying, hey, I heard they brought it up on the radio and everybody seemed to, you know what? You do owe me money for rent now.
No, Bobby.
If he's not paying.
No.
If he's not paying.
If you know Bobby's personality at all, he'd never do. He'd never go that way.
$275 million or whatever his contract is also helps.
I think Bobby would hit someone with a, nah, man, it's good.
I got it.
I think Vinny offered, and I think Bobby's like, nah, man, it's cool. And he's like, just, put some, like the normal thing you say when somebody offers you something for free and you're like, well, can I let me get the groceries, let me buy the food, or, you try to be like, well, I'm chipping in somewhere, even if it's not for the rent, Someone says 0% chance they draft a tackle in the first round.
That's not zero. It's not zero. It's low, but it's not zero. I think it's...
Defensive line is still the highest percentage. It's the betting favorite.
I still think tackle's like 15 or 20% chance.
Yeah.
Which is low, but...
Everybody who's doing a mock draft nowadays seems like it's still a very real possibility.
Maybe we'll get a mock draft sender later, and we'll find out if everyone's still thinking tackle. No, he's officially signed his deal.
That's right.
Slight difference there. Tonight, though, we'll finally get to see Missouri basketball in SEC tournament action. They got so many damn teams there. You got to wait a couple of weeks. Even if you are the sixth seed in the SEC tournament, you got to wait a few days. I was looking further and further at this because I'm not going to try to pretend like I sat here and watched Mississippi State a ton this year or anything. But when you look at the, when you dive into the numbers, if you look at KenPom or record or conference record, or all these are the same team. These are two teams who were pretty good in the SEC, who have a couple of really good scores, who lose plenty of SEC games. One was 10-8, the other was 8-10. These are fundamentally the same basketball team at the exact same stage. And this game is kind of determining what kind of seeding you're looking at in the NCAA tournament. If you're Missouri and you want any chance at getting to a 5 line, win this game. You want to get sucked into a 6 or a 7? Lose this game, right? And you're kind of stuck in no man's land. And you don't get to a 5 by beating them. It just gives you the chance to get to a 5, in my opinion. And I think that they're going to need the normal. Their guard play is going to have to be great like it's been most of the year. And maybe get a stop on defense.
Defense is the key. I mean, honestly, that's what it is. We've been talking about this for 2.5 weeks now. And the points, 5 of the last 7 games they've played, they've given up more than 76 points to their opponents. And including a couple in the 90s or the one in the 100, obviously. I know they won the game against Alabama, but still they gave it, 98 points, I think it was, to Alabama. The problem is, since mid-February, Missouri, in their own conference, they are 16th in the SEC in adjusted defense since mid-February. Right? They are in the bottom of the SEC, the very bottom of the SEC when it comes to defense since mid-February, which is almost a month now. So that's the problem. And they got a chance, though, to get some momentum, feel better about their defense against Mississippi State tonight. By the way, the Tigers, 3.5 point favorites this evening against Mississippi State. That is where things stand. But I told you, my our video is out there for bets of the day. I like Mississippi State team total over 76.5 points today because of what Missouri's defense has been. Missouri might win, but I think Mississippi State still scores over 76 points. So that's one of my picks for the day.
I just don't think Missouri's winning games 59-56 at any point during the SEC tournament, the NCAA tournament. They're winning every game. Every number better start with a 7 for them or an 8. Maybe a 9, depending on the matchup. But at least those first two, 70s, 80s minimum, 90s would be preferred probably if you're a Missouri fan, because they've played some close ones where they're kind of running into that. I still think of the three locals, I still think they're the best overall team. And because the long adage that still holds true about the NCAA tournament about guard play being so important really favors them. Their two best players are guards. That's not where Kansas is, right? That's not where K-State's not in it anymore, but that's not where those teams are. I still think there's an advantage there where they can, maybe get something going. I just think they still need, a confidence boost, to remember that they can win basketball games before they head out to the NCAA tournament.
Earlier, Mississippi State was a different team, but I believe they won by over 20 points. Hell, Mississippi State's in the 60s when they played in early February.
It was a couple months back.
So that's your hope. But Missouri, SEC play, they open up their action this evening. We'll get back to the Big 12 in the noon hour today as well. But for now, let's get to it. Maybe.
Trash of the day.
I was podcasting something, had to get back to Yes, I have a podcast.
You're good. If I would have waited like 0.2 more seconds, we would have been.
Trash of the day.
You sometimes got to drag it out, stall. All good. All right, let's get to the
and
trash.
Now and the now, it is trash
time.
Of-
All right, let's go to skiing for this one.
Okay. You ever been skiing?
I have. When I lived in Boise. That's actually the last time and probably the only time I'll ever go skiing again. I had fun after the first 2 hours of being miserable and falling on my ass constantly. Then for about 30 minutes, I was like, this is really awesome.
When you're like standing on your own 2 feet.
And I never went back after that. I don't like heights. That's the other problem with the whole skiing thing for me. You know, you go up on the gondola or whatever they call them.
Yeah, the lift.
Yeah, that's not comfortable for me even. Anyway, all right, skiing. Norwegian ski jumping, all right? One of the really cool Olympic skiing events. It's always cool. If you played even some video games back in the day, there was an Olympic video game that this was one of the fun ones to do because your skier would just like fly and usually you wouldn't be able to land and it was fun. Anyway, so there's controversy. There's scandal skiing
to the
right
skiing
now.
World?
In Norway in particular. So Norwegian ski jumping is the center of a scandal as team officials and athletes are facing suspensions over alleged suit manipulation.
Oh, no.
As in the suit they're wearing, the head coach, equipment manager have confessed to the cheating, but the team insists the two gold medalists were not involved. Just the coaches
did. Oh, well, that's, how convenient.
So they've been put under formal suspicion. Here's what they allegedly did. The AP reports there was a whistleblower secretly filmed team officials manipulating pre-approved and microchip suits. The changes cannot be spotted by eye, and that it wasn't until the crotch area seams were torn apart.
They manipulated the crotch area?
The crotch area seams were torn apart that officials managed to confirm the alteration. The suits were found to contain a reinforced thread, making them stiffer and therefore more aerodynamic. The AP adds that extra material had been added to give the suit some more weight in the crotch area.
Wow, making them leaner, faster.
This lowered the material between the athlete's legs during the flight phase, and the extra surface area hitting the air helped to add flight time.
Can you imagine that just like that small amount of fabric somehow, like a double stitch, is the reason why you're able to like fly far enough to like win an Olympic
skiing event? It's all about the aerodynamics for that, yeah.
I guess, man. Even that small of a change, huh? So they manipulated.
They claim they cheated once. We only did it one time.
Oh,
they,
yeah. It's always just
ahead of
time.
Last Saturday's Men's Large Hill World Championships. The skier, I think, took second event before being disqualified once the allegations emerged. The quote, "We regret it like dogs, and I'm terribly sorry that this happened. I don't really have anything else to say other than that we got carried away in our bubble."
If this guy didn't get videotaped, can you even bust him on this? Like, I mean, if nobody had known that it was happening.
Inspect the suit.
They said, they're pre-inspected. You can't tell via the naked eye that anything is different. So if they didn't have like a rat on the inside, this guy gets away with it, right?
Probably.
Getting away with it for months.
But now they're going to be checking the crotch area of all these suits.
How's that go?
These skiers.
How's that process work?
They got to make sure there's no cheating.
They check the suit while the suit is
to make sure it's not too firm. Is that what it is? That's what they said.
It said the crotch seams were torn apart, busting at the seams, Cody.
Oh boy.
After yesterday, I don't know. We need to be
never,
careful.
Ever, ever get caught with your pants down. I would have just, like, what makes you go through the process of, like, when you're sitting in, like, a wind tunnel at practice or whatever, because you're an Olympian, right, so they probably do that stuff, that you notice the slight difference in aerodynamics specifically by reinforcing that region?
They might
not
have
like an
arm, anything.
Not a calf. You, like, you're working through all the wind tunnel simulations, and you're like, you know, if we just put a little more firm padding here in underpants area, good to go.
This wasn't at the Olympics, but it was an Olympic event, obviously, Norwegian skiing. You know, we had the issue this past summer where someone's crotch region during the, the pole vault, unfortunately impacted
his
performance as well. You guys remember?
That's just God working against that guy. That's different.
Yeah, I mean, that impacted his performance in the opposite way. There was no cheating. It just, you know, you weren't born for that event.
But maybe if he had like a different unapproved pair of leggings, you know, that kept everything tighter, right? Maybe text he does. Line, maybe he does get through.
Text line is wondering if you would have had the same cheating in the seams of the crotch for skiing while also taking Blue Chew, Drew. Would that have caused any problems?
No, that's probably a banned substance, you know?
Performance enhancing.
It is.
Banned substance.
Chew it and do
for
it.
For skiing.
Mm-hmm.
Can't be having that. So was his name Sean P. Wiener?
No, let's see the ski. You know what? It could be, though, because I don't see the names of the skiers. So it could be. Yeah, there could be some relation there. Maybe this is the junior to the maybe senior was the guy in the car chase. Maybe junior was the individual in skiing.
Yeah. We come from a long line of wieners.
Huh?
That's tough. That's a tough tough way to get busted, you know? Some guy was filming the whole thing as they manipulated the suits.
That also is...
That sequence of phrasing and wording there was very interesting if you just turn on the radio today.
You'd be like, what?
Excuse me?
You literally just turned it on. You're like, what are they talking about? Cody Tapp, Alex Gold, Drew Nixon with you. So a little trash of the day.
That's
talking
all.
About reinforced crotch area of ski suits. Totally normal Thursday conversation.
Yeah.
I can't believe you don't have these conversations at your workplace.
Mm-hmm.
They might now.
Yeah, it's never too late.
I can only imagine
having the second one with HR.
They said the Olympians did not know, correct?
They're saying the coaches just did it.
So
yeah, they don't want them to get any
trouble. I'm convinced, Cody, they're in the wind tunnel. Hey, there's something in the suit feels, it's just a little bit different than normal. You know, there's some new.
It's fine.
Honestly, though, I bet you for some, like, there's probably no way it even feels any different to the skier.
Probably
it
not.
Just is like,
they
hey,
said you can't even tell by looking at it.
It's just, but it gives you a slight advantage in airflow, you know, when you're up there, down there.
That's why I got disqualified.
Mm-hmm.
The smallest thing can make a difference.
Yep.
Yes, it can, Drew. Yes, it can.
That's a good time to probably take a break.
Up next, we're going to get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour.
After I said something?
We're going to get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour, all right? And the lack of movement at one position for the Chiefs, plus what one national radio host is already saying about the AFC West.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It's next year.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Thanks for hanging out with us. It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Coming up in the noon hour, we'll be joined by Josh Fernier, our Royals insider. We'll also get back into some college basketball. Plus, one star pitcher in the big leagues has some ideas for some big time rule changes. We'll tell you what that is in the noon hour today. Big 12 tournament, first game of the day, just tipping off right now. Iowa State and BYU. Will get you some scoreboard updates as warranted, as Iowa State winner of this would play the winner of Houston in Colorado. A 1-16 matchup we're going to get later on this afternoon.
Colorado's not a heater. You're Buffs. Buffaloes. I should have gone down to watch them 2 nights in a row.
So there we go. BYU just underway, up 3-0 early against Iowa State. But let's talk some Chiefs football. They haven't done anything on the defensive line yet so far this, unless you want to count bringing back Malik Herring on a nothing deal.
No. I mean, he was in the offensive line last year. It's a 1 year deal. He's a rotational guy at the end of the rotation, to be very clear, is where Malik Herring lands. I guess it was making me wonder if you're not going to make a move on the offensive line and maybe, or defensive line, and maybe you're still waiting all these contracts to get officially signed and dollars to be moved and cents to make sense. Do they have a larger role in mind for Felix and Udike Uzomah than we had originally considered? Take out personal feelings aside about like how we think they are as a player or not. If they don't make a major move on the defensive line, I am only left to assume that they are big believers that he can take a step forward this year. 2 years absent. He does make some plays when he's in there. He does make some nice plays for Kansas City. So you could look at this as like the fourth corner who, when he plays, doesn't screw things up. Good in the run game. I don't see much in the pass rush department there still. Yeah. But he's been an effective guy in his 15 to 20 snaps. But it's hard to imagine. They're like, yeah, we think we're ramping it up to 45. Because that's what it would take, tripling his snaps in order to do it.
Yeah, it'll be year three. You know, this is, you know, it's year three already. Even though when he was drafted, we all understood, you know, how raw he was. But this will be year three. And as far as, you know, does it mean that they're expecting a bigger role? I mean, I think the snap count could go up, but also the draft still exists. And, you know, there's a chance they draft an edge rusher. We've been talking interior, but there's a chance they draft an edge rusher in the first round. And that guy, even though you can say, well, that should have been Felix. Yeah, but doesn't mean they stop trying to fix the problem if there is one. So I think there's a chance that guy could be behind Felix because Felix is behind everybody. I'm saying that guy could just be all of a sudden come in right away and start. Might just be a better player. That happens, right? So
sure.
I don't think it means necessarily like Felix is starting defensive end opposite George Karlaftis right this second. If they had a game tomorrow, yes, that would be if the game was tomorrow, that would be the case. But I still think there'll be a veteran signing. I don't know how big, and there'll be a draft pick that changes this defensive line a little bit.
No, I, you know, like you're right to the point that a defensive lineman, but like, what if it's a defensive tackle in the first round? Right.
Yeah.
And so like, there's so many different options. And I'm not sure that that's the case. I'm just wondering if like there's a plan that I'm not privy to. You know, this works. We don't know the players they like internally. And for the, I'd say Felix and Udike Uzomah defenders, the first year made a lot of sense, right? Where it's like, well, he can't get on the field because he's got to get on the field above, you know, he's got to get on the field above Karlaftis and above Chris Jones and above. They had a lot of guys last year, less. The pass rush wasn't quite as good. It's just like, I'm having a hard time seeing the leap from 15 to 45. But again, if they make a signing, let's say below in a Minshew type player, part of me thinks they do have a bigger plan for him. Maybe it's not the full shift to he's the full-time outside defensive end ready to go, similar snaps as Charles and Minshew towards the end of the season, but it's they're going to be in a bigger rotation between outside guys there and edge guys where it's more of a 50-50 split than it's been before.
Yeah, no, it could be. I just, even if they draft a defensive tackle, I would be surprised that there's not some other veteran that gets brought in to the defensive line picture before we get to the draft. And I don't know. You know, I would like that to be Charles Minshew. I don't know who it's going to be. The longer Charles Minnehue sits out there not signed, though, the chance of him coming back goes up, because that means the deal that he thought he could get just doesn't exist. Right? I mean, today's Thursday. I know the league year started yesterday, but really this is now what, day four? If we're being real about how this process works,
pretty far into the free agency period.
This is like fourth wave. You know, and the longer he's out there.
I mean, Kyle Juszczyk has a meeting today. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, like, I know Cooper Kupp and some other guys are available. It's not like there aren't still,
but Kupp couldn't even talk to anybody until, because once they,
to Wednesday.
Yesterday, yeah.
But, like, I understand that there's still some, like, not every player who belongs as the day one or day two free agent goes in day one and day two, and not everybody who goes in day one is a day one free agent. So, like, maybe a Minnehue lands in kind of this middle ground,
but it's rare.
It's just
to
been
see.
Really quiet in the defensive end front. The first move you make is a 1-year deal for Malik Herring. It's like, that's, I mean, we're pretty far down the bottom of the, like, let's go get our guy list right now. And that's why it kind of stands out, as I was just wondering, hey, maybe they got a deeper plan other than like taking one or two guys in the draft, which you and I definitely think is possible. Maybe they got a deeper plan. Maybe they see the way they used Felix there late in the season and they think, yeah, he can take those 16 snaps and turn them into 32 snaps. And we think that that will play out in the long run. I'd be curious to know if he can turn those into sacks. That's where I am. You know, like, can you turn these into sacks? Karloftis and Chris Jones are helping you on the other side. You're going to get some one-on-ones, not just be a good run stopper, not just be like, I think fundamentally he does some things really well, but like, you know, can you turn some of those into even like Turk Wharton level of sacks, 5.5, 6?
Can it click in year three? I mean, it's not something that's a 0% chance of happening. I think we would agree he's gotten better. Hasn't taken the strides you were hoping, obviously, for him to have taken based on where he was drafted. Now, can this be an offseason where he takes an even bigger leap? And can they actually rely on him? We're going to find out. I also think the way they approach the rest of the offseason will tell us their confidence level. Because if they don't spend a high pick and they don't bring in another veteran edge rusher, well, then they are saying, no, they have belief that he's going to be able to be that guy this year. And so that'll just tell us in general.
I look at the text on it, be like, you know, from the 402, I feel like Felix gets a lot of hate. He's worked his way from bust to solid NFL rotational edge kind of guy. Look, I don't know that because he's played in all 34 games since he's been in the NFL. There were times and probably in which it felt like bust, but the reason why the people are critical of him is the first round. If you take out if he was a fourth round guy, you'd be like, you know what? Solid defensive rotational guy.
He was a third round guy.
He had 2.5 sacks last year. That's better than the half sack he had the year before. Can he become a 4.5, 5 sack guy like Mike Dana? Yeah, but Mike Dana was taken in the third round. The criticism from Felix comes from the fact that he was a first round pick. And I'll ignore that going forward.
I'll say there's nothing you can do about it now. If you're him, hey, it's not your fault you got drafted in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, his value, like where he was picked is probably never going to match the production value you get on the field. But I do still want growth out of Felix, because if he turns himself into an even further nice rotational defensive end guy who can get 4.5 sacks, 5 sacks a year, like, great. Like, that's a productive player who belongs on an NFL team who deserves to get some snaps for you. They're not even using him like that quite yet.
No,
or haven't been, but they're just not doing anything in the free agency period. So,
I mean, Mike Dana has a year left under his contract. He had 3.5 last year. The year before, he had 6.5. Last year, he played in 13 games. You rotate Mike Dana and Felix plus a newcomer into the mix. That's probably the path for defensive end here in 2025 for Kansas City. You know, and if that means the snaps go up a little bit for Felix, that's fine. He's not going to get anywhere near the snaps like as a clear cut starter that, you know, Karloftis gets. But can he work in more? Can he be a bigger portion of the snap share with Mike Dana or whoever else they decide to bring in?
Hopefully another free agent. It's been so quiet. It was making me question it, at least on, a small end gold where I'm like, you know, maybe there's just some hidden plan I don't know about. And, you know, Malik Herring didn't move the needle enough to make me change my opinion that couldn't still possibly be the case.
So it's early in the offseason. I thought we would have to wait till June to start seeing these takes fly off about
March 13th.
About the AFC West and the Chiefs not winning it. We already have our first individual that has thrown it out there, and that's fine. The reasoning doesn't make any sense to me, and it's nothing that's new reasoning. Joe Fortenbaugh over at ESPN Radio had this to say.
Problem is, they're not going to be able to solve all of their issues to get back to the Super Bowl next year. They're heading for, I'm not going to call it a reset, but I would not expect them in the Super Bowl next year. I don't expect them in the AFC Championship game next year. I'm going to be betting that they do not win the AFC West next year. Right now, it sounds crazy because of how dominant they've been. But at some point, the bottom's going to fall out on these guys. There are a few big red flag indicators. Number one, they have won 17 consecutive one-score games. They were 12-0 in one-score games last year. Last time we heard of a team that was that dominant in one-score games was the Minnesota Vikings a few seasons ago. Bottomed out the next year.
They went 13-3, right?
You can't just bank on the idea that Denver's always going to have that game-winning field goal blocked, or that Cincinnati's always going to commit that penalty in the big spot, or that Isaiah Likely's toe's always going to come down out of bounds. It doesn't work like that. Eventually, the math catches up to you. You're going to start losing some one-score games. On top of that, I don't see Travis Kelce having some resurgence. He'll be good. He won't be great.
So that's Joe Fortenbaugh on ESPN Radio. We have no idea if they're getting back to the Super Bowl. Have no clue. Saying that they're not going to make the Super Bowl isn't some crazy take or anything like that. Saying they're not going to win the AFC West isn't crazy, but it's March 13th. You're already telling us that you're going to bet that without even knowing
because
what the rest of the
offseason is. Because they were good in one-score
games. Without even knowing what the rest of the offseason is. The Chiefs are probably not going 30-0 in one-score games. They're probably not, right? There's a very good chance that doesn't happen.
Probably not. You're not even willing to say 100%.
Yeah, they're probably not, Cody.
Even you have to hedge your bet on that one.
You know, but him citing the Vikings, that franchise.
From 2017? Citing a Vikings team from 8 years ago?
Or even even a couple years ago when they were they had a season, a really strong year, and everybody thought they were fraudulent like 2 years ago. Even that year.
14 games last year, though. It's like, you know.
But the idea that that's the comp makes no sense. The Vikings haven't won anything. They don't have Mahomes. They don't have Andy Reid. The one-score game thing people were saying in the middle of last season, like, hey, that's going to eventually drop. And yes, they got their ass kicked in the Super Bowl. But if you were saying in week 12 that's going to come back to bite them, that is losing in the Super Bowl does not prove your point. Like, oh, man, I knew it was going to finally get them, and they got their ass kicked in the Super Bowl. That is not – that's a terrible comp to use. You want to pick the Broncos to win it, fine. But if you're going to say that it's not sustainable, why can't I just also say, like, how do we know Bo Nix is not going to – fall back and have a sophomore slump the way CJ Stroud has a sophomore slump? How do we know that Harbaugh's,
I can pretend anything to try to make a team sound bad. Again, I do not think that in any way it is like a fluke that a team wins one score games over and over and over and over and over again when they have the league's best coach and the league's best quarterback and one of the league's best GMs. I think then it gets out of fluke territory to get it. I was listening to his argument. I was like, what is this argument? It seems circular and like you're just kind of doing this. Lawyer. He's a lawyer. Our boy Fortenberg went to the Thomas Jefferson School. Fortenbaugh went to the Thomas Jefferson School of Law. I'm like, that's what it is. He just
that's fine. I mean, that doesn't matter. I don't know why we got to make it personal.
I am going to make it personal. I just said, like, I think the way in which he was making his argument sounded like somebody who was, like, changing facts just to make them sound worse. It's not a bad thing that they won games in a row. The idea that they're not going to go to the AFC Championship game, I can't imagine even predicting that right now. Like, I can't even imagine, like, being an analyst and be like, you know, this is the year. Why? Are you tired? Are you going to go back to it next year? Or are you going to give up? Because really, here's what we get out of the analyst who predict the Chiefs' downfall at any particular phase. We get three versions. We get the version of the people who accept reality. That is, they predict the Chiefs to at least be in the AFC Championship game every single year until proven otherwise. You get the second group, which is they predict the Chiefs to lose, and then after being proven wrong, they just go back and be like, you know what? Bad take. They're just always going to be in the AFC Championship game. And then you get a group of people who just predict them year after year, year after year, year after year for the downfall. Right?
The same thing with the Andy thing. Eventually, it's going to happen. Well, sure, eventually, it's going to happen.
Yeah, like they just bank on it.
Eventually, it's going to fall out.
And they'll be the person, and I'm not saying, I don't know how many times he's predicted him to be out of the AFC, but they pump their chest out like, I got it right. I'm many times did you make the prediction they'd miss the AFC Championship game?
Yeah, that happened after the Super Bowl. There was so many people that picked the Eagles to beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl 2 years ago and get dominated, and they were wrong, and so they went back to it this year, and they were right this year, and now you've got, you know, everybody from that post Eagles ass kicking saying, see, I told you they were fraudulent or whatever it may be. I always take issue with the notion in week 10, week 12, if you want to say a team can't keep doing something, but then if they lose in the Super Bowl, you can't really claim you
they
were correct.
Win the Super Bowl. What do you mean they made it to it?
Correct. Yeah. You know, if if they lost in the first round of the playoffs, then yeah, you could say they were fraudulent, right? Right? They won a bunch of games and they were one and done. Sure, absolutely, that's the case. But the AFC West stuff will pick up more, I'm sure, in the summertime, and there will be a lot of people that will pick the Broncos. My guess is. Or the Chargers to win the division. And that in its own right is fine. Like I disagree, but let's at least wait to see what the offseason looks like. It's March 13th and you're already telling us you're betting them not to win the division based off of a trend and a comparison from years ago. Anyway,
6-year-old, 7-year-old. I got to respect the siren here. The mock draft sounder. Sorry. I was going to just be like, you know, it's a bad comparison. Case Keenum. No, that's fine. I just think it's crazy to say they won't win the West. Yeah. That's all.
All right, so we're going to go out. Our guy Lance, I think a certain group of fans locally are going to like what Lance put together.
So this is just a fan mock draft.
Yep, fan mock draft from our guy Lance. Pick 31,
all right.
Luther Burden to the Kansas City Chiefs.
All right. Again, not against
that. If he falls to 31, I would not
I don't think he's falling to 31. I'm in the Matt Miller camp of this is all smoke and mirrors and he's going at like 17, but...
It's actually interested. It's actually common now in mock drafts we've looked at. The other ones I haven't.
He's in the second round. Really
he is in the second round.
Okay.
Going at 33, 34, 35. At pick 63, JT Tuimoloau from Ohio State, the edge rusher. Really productive couple of seasons these last couple of years, part of the great defenses. And then running back in the third round with Caleb Johnson. More of an interesting pick, Gold, because we've talked about a guy that's more of a bruiser, not necessarily what the Chiefs need, but Caleb Johnson, you know, he's got good athletic potential, but he's more of the Pacheco style of runner than Devin Neal or Travion Henderson. Of course, at Iowa, they don't throw the ball very much either, so catching and passing game, not that he's bad at it, but we don't have much sample size from him. And then Omar Norman Lott, another name that we've had previously at defensive tackle in those three rounds. So wide receiver, edge rusher, running back, defensive tackle, it addresses needs. I don't know if you say that's a bad mock or you wouldn't go for any of those picks.
No, I'm not offended by any of this. I think maybe I expect more defense. I don't know. I'm kind of torn. Like, I think they're taking a running back, and I don't think if Burden falls, I obviously want him to take that. The only complaint I would have is, the style of running back, Gold. I'm in the same boat as you. I want a pass-catching, game-breaking A-chan style, can run for 80 yards. It feels like it's been a really long time since they had that running back. Like probably the first year of Kareem Hunt when he still had some of that game-breaking ability, right? Because he did when he first came in the league. He doesn't now, but he did when he first came in.
No, he might be more like Kareem Hunt, actually. He has some game-breaking speed, and obviously at Iowa, you know, you got to be a good running back to play there because they run the ball a whole lot, but...
Luther Burden is the one, like, this is... I've told you my issue with a lot of mock drafts is, like, I can... Now, there's different simulators people use, too, but, like, this one didn't have trades in it, at least, so I applaud, I don't believe, right? So I applaud that for our listener, Lance, because I told you, not that trades don't happen in the draft. I don't believe in mock drafts unless it's, like, a pretty...
I don't mind
top five one. Well, because I can make a trade to make it to where I just get the guy I want.
If it's realistic, I don't mind it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, like...
I don't like it if the Chiefs trade up to 11.
I see some of these mock drafts and people will send them to us and stuff, and it's got like four trades. I'm just like, okay, like that's way too many variables for you to try, like just to try to get the player you want to get for your mock draft. That's my issue with those.
You guys don't fill out one, like you guys don't go into Pro Football Focus and do one mock draft.
We joke every year. We end up doing one as a show live on the air right before.
That's right. We do
Like that week of.
We take our players. I still think it'll be quarterback 1-2 because it always ends up being quarterback 1-2.
Typically, yeah.
Whether you think it's a trade or not, that's my guess for how I assume it'll be Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders 1-2. I'll start there.
It typically ends up being that. All right, let's get a little Big 12 scoreboard update brought to you by Powell Exteriors KC for siding, windows, decks, and more. It has to be Powell Exteriors KC and PowellKC.com. Plenty of offense right out of the gate. BYU and Iowa State. How about BYU out to a 25-15 lead? Still 11:42 to go. Not good for those on the under. Me. The fact is, you have a BYU team that is 6 of 9 from three.
I don't love
out
that.
Of the gate. 66% from three in the first 9 minutes. Not even 9 minutes of the basketball game. So the Cyclones early, down 10. In a pro Cyclone crowd at the T-Mobile Center. That's the only game going on, obviously, at the Big 12 quarterfinal later on this afternoon. Colorado going to be in action against top-seeded Houston. But a lot of points Right now, the live total is all the way up to 162, and it was 146.5.
I don't love that.
Nope, I don't like that either.
You know?
I don't like that either, Cody.
Well, sometimes...
6 of 9 BYU? Where the hell is this coming from?
Can't make shots forever. Maybe. Well, maybe they can.
I mean, if you jump out to this kind of lead, I don't know, man. But yeah, Big 12 tournament. We were talking to our guy Rob during the break as well. That tickets tonight, still not terrible if you're trying to go to the tournament.
I will say, in addition to that, if we're waiting for Bobby Wood Jr. news, our guy Josh Vernier said he did see Bobby Wood Jr. in the clubhouse and that he did not even see a bruise. Andy Rogers reporting that he's sore, considered day-to-day. But like the fact that he's like, I don't know, he looks fine. And the fact that Vinny was sending out that tweet last night, I mean, he looks okay. We can talk more about it later. I just wanted to point out that you don't have to panic, at least at this moment. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, look, BYU can't make shots forever, you know?
It's not a good look. It's not a good look right now.
Plus, it's good for Kansas City if Iowa State stays. The longer they stay in the tournament, the more.
Yeah, but they're down 10.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I want them to come back on BYU.
BYU's up 10. I mean, that's not good for the overall attendance the rest of the tournament, honestly. Now, maybe some folks from BYU coming to town if they go on a deeper run. I told you, though, pre-show, from an NCAA tournament perspective, I actually think BYU's, depending on the draw, going to a Sweet 16. I kind of like BYU as a basketball team. I think they're really good. They've got some impressive wins. They're usually not, you know, coming out shooting like this in the first 8.5 minutes of action.
Maybe they'll just start putting up some bricks, you know? Need some time to waste off. You need like one of those 4-minute scoring droughts that happen in every single college basketball game across the country because nobody has enough offense.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. Right now, not great. It's way over pace. It's way over the pace by like 15 points.
Nah, it's way too early. Still 30 minutes of game time left. Also, switch back to quarters, college basketball.
Men's has never been.
Men's the only ones. Yeah, men's the only one.
Fine.
Yeah.
Switch to quarters.
They need to go to quarters badly.
I think that could happen here fairly soon.
There was a moment last night.
Every other pro does it.
I can't remember what game it was, but there was a pause. There was no timeout called. There was no review. It was just a stoppage of play that took a minute and a half of real time. Everybody was just standing around.
Oh, on the TV, it was like, I don't know. Like reviewing, just even like reviewing the ball, like who it was off in the Kansas game. It's like.
It should have taken 10 seconds last night.
Why does it take a minute?
When he dribbled off his foot or whatever it was last night. It should have taken 10 seconds to review that. Instead, it took him. I think that one actually only took a minute, but still, that was should have been done 30 seconds earlier. Should have been something like that. A lot of people on the text line are saying I should mention a stat to Drew. For relation to the NFL, I think it's somebody.
We already did that once.
Yeah, that stat. Stat you guys sent us. Somebody repurposed that yesterday, but we already acknowledged that like probably a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, was the Andy Dalton Joe Burrow comparison. I honestly think someone just literally copied off of the publication that put it out there weeks ago.
This like a month ago.
We have talked about on this show about things, stats, but no.
And Drew agreed. Joe Burrow, Andy Dalton, very similar quarterbacks.
He loves Andy Dalton.
Yeah, he's a big fan.
I did like the red rifle more than most, but there are some stats that we've talked about that are taken out of context, and that is one of those things.
Never.
Holy crap.
Never happens, man. Up next, we'll get to what's trending. We'll get back in to college basketball, what it means for K-State's future out that the season is over for them, and what could Kansas do tonight against Arizona.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic
salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.